My name is John Burris. I'm representing the family of Carlos Mejia. And today we have filed a claim with the city of Salinas, basically putting them on notice that unless they admit to wrongfully having killed Mr. Mejia and pay him substantial damages, that we intend to file a federal civil rights lawsuit in the very near future, where we will allege that his shooting death by his police officers was unconstitutional, it violated his civil rights, and it has substantially injured his family. Mr. Mejia was El Salvadorian. He has a small 8-year-old child he was supporting. He worked consistently as a day laborer in this community. And his shooting death has brought substantial deaths in this community, largely in part because this is the third shooting in the last 3 months, which is an extraordinary high number for a community of this size. These shootings themselves raise questions, one about the policies and practices of the Salinas Police Department, and whether or not a pattern of discriminatory law enforcement practices is occurring within this department. Factually, the shooting death of Mr. Mejia is quite questionable, and largely because, granted that the police were called as a consequence of an alleged event, at the time, Mr. Mejia was walking away. He had his grass cutting shears, which was clearly something that's normally used, and that he was tasered, he fell over a fence, but he continued to walk away. And in walking away, the police officers followed them with their guns drawn. He was not aggressive, he was walking slowly away. And the circumstances to why he got shot multiple times is a clear mystery. It raises the question about whether these officers were properly trained, whether or not they had the proper patience, whether or not they were trigger happy. Because if you look at the fact pattern, that at the time that he was shot, he clearly was not being aggressive. He was not walking toward the police. He was not swinging his arms toward the police. He was not jabbing at them. That the police were at a distance that was relatively safe and could have been safer, because they put themselves in harm's way, if you have to describe that. To me, that's poor police training, poor tactics, and under the Constitution and under state laws of California, a police officer cannot put himself in harm's way through negligent conduct and then shoot himself out of it and expect the Constitution and the laws to protect him. So notwithstanding anything that has been said by the police department, it is very clear from the videos that we have seen that it's the police officers who were the aggressors here, and that they're the ones who put themselves in harm's way. And any slight movement that was made by Mr. Mejia did not justify the use of deadly force. It's clear he was not swinging his arms at them. If anything, he was kind of back and chewing them up. He had not been the aggressor. So the conduct on the part of the police officers clearly was one of excessive force. The other part of this case that is most disturbing to us is that before any communications had been made to the general public, and before any of the videos had surfaced, the police chief himself had taken a position suggesting and stating that Mr. Mejia was the aggressor and that he had attacked the police. When the tapes surfaced, and of course, it was clear he had not done so. So that raises the question of whether there was an intended cover-up before the case was even properly investigated. And these are the kinds of questions that are most disturbing, because it was almost as if there was a ratification of this conduct by the police before any real investigation had taken place. So when you put this against the backdrop, that there have been three shootings in a very short period of time, real questions have been raised about whether or not this department is engaging in a systematic pattern of discriminatory law enforcement. From our point of view, that these levels of shootings over the last 3 days raises the real question about whether or not there should be a federal investigation into the department about whether they're engaged in a pattern of practice of discriminatory law enforcement. There's a federal statute that provides for that. That statute is separate and apart from the investigation surrounding the individual shooting of Mr. Mahia, because that's a separate cause of action. That action goes to whether or not criminal conduct should occur. From our point of view, if you looked at it individually, given that Mr. Mahia had not engaged in any threatening conduct toward the officers, that these officers engaged in excessive force and should be investigated for purposes of criminal prosecution, either by the State Attorney General's office or by the Department of Justice and the United States Department of Justice. That's one consideration. The other consideration, very much like what has happened in Albuquerque, New Mexico, like what has happened in New Orleans, that Department of Justice should look to see whether or not a pattern of discriminatory law enforcement is taking place. Those are two different kinds of actions. Now, from my point of view, having been involved in countless police shooting cases over my career, I give little credit to the district attorney's office investigating these kinds of cases. My experience has been that rarely, if ever, would a district attorney's office do anything that other than support the police officers' conduct. I don't believe that if I had to rely upon the district attorney's office, all we would see is a whitewash of the police officers' conduct. So therefore, we are not seeking the district attorney's office to do anything, because whatever they're going to do, it is going to support the police. We are asking that the Attorney General of the United States, as well as the Attorney General of the State of California, take an independent look at this to determine whether or not criminal prosecution should occur. And then secondly, we will ask the Department of Justice to look at this department in the perspective of whether or not there is a pattern in practice in terms of law enforcement practices, and that is a separate consideration. So we are taking this action now because it is important to get transparency and accountability. Transparency occurs when documents are released sooner than later. That can only occur generally if a legal process has started, because our experience is that they will never ever release these documents that support that's there, and they will claim that the matter is under investigation, and investigation could take on indefinitely. So the legal processes that we engage in will start that process, and that we hope and we trust that we will get what we need to have us in the day. Other actions that make this case somewhat despicable in our mind's eye is that Mr. Mahia's body remained on the sidewalk for a long period of time, uncovered, even after it determined to have been dead. That is inhumane. It is an insult to the community itself. Is an intimidating aspect to the community, because it gives the impression this is what happened to you, that your body can be laid on the street indefinitely for all the community to see. This is a very busy intersection, very busy community, and to have a dead body land on the street uncovered is the ultimate insult, not only to Mr. Mahia, but to the community in which he resided. So these are matters that are concerned. Secondly, it has been reported to us that after the shooting had taken place, that the police made an aggressive effort to take away telephones, videotapes that others have made of this event. Our concern about that is that those videotapes were destroyed and they were not kept as evidence. And it was a conscious regard, if that happened, to destroy evidence and to make it very difficult for the plaintiff's family to understand what happened. Fortunately, as we now live in an age of video cameras and cell phones, that we were able to see videotapes of the event that contradicts much of what the police have said. So I would only say to anybody out there in this community that took a phone camera of this event and it was taken by the police, please call my office, because anything that was taken should in fact be held as evidence. And if there are videotapes out there that were taken from telephone calls, we want those. And it would be a crime if the person turned in a video camera or telephone of this event and it was now deleted and or destroyed, or the police claims it doesn't exist. So there are a lot of significant issues that have taken place here, and it's our responsibility as as lawyers and people who understand that victims like Mr. Mejia do not stand much of a chance unless they are represented by lawyers that have substantial experience in this area. So we're here to represent the family, to get as much justice as we can, and for the community itself to appreciate that you do have an option, that you do not have to accept the official position, that you in fact can, in fact, challenge that position. Family clearly wants, like, they want justice. They want some acknowledgement that the shooting was unjustified, that his constitutional rights were violated. That's very, very important because, and they want, in many ways, is Mr. Mejia's to have some sense, his soul to have some sense of peace that he died under circumstances where, in fact, what he was trying to do initially was to just do day work. And that to the extent some misunderstanding took place, that should not in any of itself cause his death. And the fact that he was walking away and had not been threatened and not sought to injure the police, that his life should not have been taken. So they want some acknowledgement of that. And he, of course, he had an 8-year-old daughter that he is supporting or trying to support. And that daughter has now been deprived of her dad and all the finances.
Have you seen the autopsy reports or the toxicology reports?
I have not seen any of those reports.
Are they available? Or are they?
Well, I'm certain that the toxicology report is not available. It is my experience with the autopsy that the autopsy has taken place. We know that. The question of whether it will be released to the public is another matter. Traditionally, police departments have not been releasing those, and we're making every effort by making requests for those items in order to get them sooner than later. The cause of death obviously is not going to be an issue here. Obviously, it's multiple gunshot wounds. Where those gunshot wounds were and where they entered the body are critically important. So we want the autopsy report, the toxicology report, all of those things are important. I would only say this with respect to toxicology. If there is alcohol on board, in and of itself, that is not determinative. Because what is determinative is what did Mr. Mejia do and what did the police do? And did Mr. Mejia present himself in such a way that it caused danger to the police? Any reflex, any movement of any kind in and of itself does not justify use of deadly force.
Do you make copies of the complaint available to us?
I have some copies of a complaint. I have some copies of a press statement that I have to release to you. And some of those are in Spanish as well.
Do you know Spanish a little bit?
No. I know, but you know, you may have staff to do this.
Mr. Peirce, can you talk specifically about what you think the chief of police did or said to cover this up?
I was very disturbed that before the videos had surfaced, the police chief seemed to have made statements that suggested that Mr. Mejia was the aggressive person, that he would attack the officer, was a term that I found. And the videotape clearly suggests that that was not true. He was not. Now, granted, the chief is only getting the statements he has from his officers, which I understand in a way, but he had not conducted his own independent investigation, and he essentially adopted the story of the police officers. I have never been in a case, ever, where the police officers have not said that what they did was justifiable. I don't care how bad the shooting is. So that's understandable and predictable, but not for the chief, because the chief should be transparent, and he should hold officers accountable. And part of the reason why this matter should be investigated at another level is because the ratification by a police chief of officer misconduct essentially allows for the pattern and practice of misconduct to occur. It creates and substantiates the culture that might exist that says that using deadly force against people of certain ethnic groups is not that significant. And don't worry, we'll take care of it. That doesn't happen.
So you mentioned him. Is that part of his use for his occupation?
Absolutely. It was hedges. Right. Which, if you use my house, that's what they have. They cut hedges and grass and all. So it was not a weapon of a kind that would traditionally assault.
Officers. Is he exposing himself to a lady before and trying to kill one of the lady's dogs?
I hear that that is an allegation. I did not see that. Okay. I did not have any confirmation of that. But I will say this. Whatever took place before does not support and create the circumstance that you get to kill this person notwithstanding. You don't. You have to. You can only use deadly force when deadly force is imminent danger to you. Notwithstanding, otherwise people can commit crimes and you just go kill them. Because they've committed the crime. No, you have to have some facts before you that a reasonable police officer would believe that will justify using deadly force. And we do not think that occurred here. And we certainly don't think that whatever he did before, true or not, don't say that it's true or not, does not justify the use of deadly force that was used in this case. It may in the officer's own mind have justified that, but a reasonable police officer under the Constitution would not accept that as being the basis.
You mentioned a minute ago that this started out as a misunderstanding or a mistaken
circumstance. I don't have real facts around that. All okay. I can say okay. is that there's an allegation, okay, okay. that was made. From what we understand, that he was seeking work and that he went to this lady's house. We understand that he was seeking work. As to attacking this woman or exposing this woman, I don't have any facts one way or the other. My only retort to that is, that those facts in and of itself did not justify the use of deadly force and killing him under circumstances. If those facts were true, he should have been arrested and tried in a court of law.
You've had several cases like this work. How does this, in terms of what you saw on video, the fact that there are at least two video sources that are now widely available, how does this rank with some of the other...
Well, I will only say this, that videos count. We've been involved in a number of cases where videos are there, and videos often... can present a more accurate picture than the mental state and the recollection of officers. So in terms of ranking, the only thing that's important here is that a man is dead. In our view, they shouldn't be dead, and there's a video camera that suggests that he didn't do what the officers claimed he did.
But how egregious would you say
I'm here because I think it's egregious. I think it's outrageous what happened to him, that his life was taken unjustifiably. So I view this as an egregious use of excessive force.
How long does the city have to respond?
The city has 45 days to respond to this. And, they could call me up and say, Mr. Burris, I think you're right. Let's settle this case and let's work through that. And maybe we can deal with some reforms. I don't anticipate that happening, so we'll have to go to the next level.